This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
One of the fine things about having the job that I do is I get the opportunity from time to time to watch athletes grow up. And sitting here in San Francisco, I've had a chance to watch Natalie Coughlin just really kind of grow in her sport because she went to the University of California where she was the NCAA Swimmer of the Year. She represented the United States at the 2004 Olympic Games in Greece and again in the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, China. And she has 11 Olympic medals, and at the Beijing Olympics, she became the first American female athlete in Olympic history to win 6 medals in one Olympics and the first woman ever to win the 100-meter backstroke gold in 2 consecutive Olympics. After it was all over with, how long did it take until you could sit back, Natalie, and just kind of enjoy and appreciate what you'd done?
That's a good question. It's pretty much the past month or so. I've been so busy since the Olympics. The first month after the Olympics, it was kind of the huge media tour. So I was bouncing from, you know, New York, D.C., L.A., bouncing back and forth, and then not knowing where I was going and what, you know, when. So it's really been since about Thanksgiving where things have slowed down. And I've gotten to enjoy myself and really take it all in.
What about the maturity factor between the games in Greece and the games in Beijing Olympics? What did you notice as the difference as to the way you prepared, the way you handled it, the way you handled the post-Olympics?
Well, the preparation was much, much different for me. This time around, it wasn't as stressful knowing that people were pushing me to be they weren't promoting me to be in the Olympics. Like in 2004, I was doing all these commercials for NBC and all these Olympic commercials before I even made the team. So that was incredibly stressful. And having gone through that this time in Beijing, you know, I had all these, promotions with my sponsors, and it wasn't as stressful. And I just kind of believed that I was going to make the team because we only choose our team 6 weeks before the Olympics. So it's very last minute for swimming. And the post-Olympic experience, having been there before in Athens, I had a much better idea of what it was going to look like because I was just going, like I said, from city to city, hotel to hotel. Like I couldn't even remember my hotel rooms because I was in a different one every night. Like there was this time in October, I was in New York, and I went to the hotel gym and I was running on the treadmill and I tried to go back to my room. And I tried 3 separate floors before I just went down to the lobby. And I was like, I know it's something 28. And I tried 728, 828, and 928. And those are all wrong. So it was really crazy for a while and just really scatterbrained. And things have started to slow down. So it's been really fun.
Was there an awe factor with those first Olympic games? I would think going to an Olympics for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of wide-eyed and everything. Was that kind of gone the second time around?
Oh, God, it's not gone at all. Not gone at all. It's almost you realize how important they are the second time around. The first time I, you know, had dreamt of being an Olympian for 20 years. So, or at that point, I guess 15 years or so. And you build it up in your mind. And then once you're there, you're almost dreamwalking the entire time. I wasn't even paying attention. And in Beijing, I was much more present in everything. And I was taking, you know, the sights in, just everything. And you just feel the pressure that much more when you start to really pay attention to it. But I really enjoyed my time in Beijing.
Let's go back to the beginning. 10 months old when you first started swimming?
Swim lessons. I don't know how much I was actually swimming. I was learning to hold my breath.
And what was your first memory of swimming and whether you liked it or didn't like it?
My first memory, I actually remember my very first race, and it was in Northern California, probably like Sebastopol or somewhere around there. I'm not really sure the city. And it was a 25 butterfly, and I was disqualified because I didn't do the stroke properly, which I think is really cruel for a, you know, official to disqualify a 6-year-old. But
you out of the pool.
Yeah, yeah, you suck. Get out of here. But luckily, I stuck with it. And, you know, I mostly just remember being at swim meets when I was young, like playing with my friends, and it was never about the swimming. It was mostly being outside and just running around and waiting for your events. And
it was more social at that time, was it not?
It was definitely more social until I was probably 13 or so.
Yeah. Where did your parents factor into to driving you or not driving you? Because that's always kind of a very thin line for parents.
Well, luckily my parents were the perfect sports parents where they wanted me to be active in some way. So I was a much better swimmer than I was a dancer or a gymnast because I did those other things when I was younger, and I was very chubby and uncoordinated. So luckily I stuck with the swimming. But they just wanted me to do something after school and just to be active. And for me, that meant swimming. And that's as much as they really pushed me. I just had to be in something.
Do you remember the moment it got serious that you had to make a decision within yourself as mm-hmm. to whether you were going to get serious about this?
Yeah, it was probably about age 12, age 13. That's when I really started going to a lot more practices and really focusing on my technique. And that's really when I had my first big taste of success. I went to nationals that year. I finaled at nationals. So that was a really big year for me.
How did you deal with the demands, meaning the demands of being a serious swimmer, but also having to give up other things around you? Because when mm-hmm. these kids are young, and I've known a lot of other mm-hmm. Olympic athletes, I've talked to Scott Hamilton about the hours on the ice, you know, when he was very, very young. And it seems like to me that most of these kids just say, hey, if I want to be good, this is what I've got to do.
Right. Well, I mean, you do give a lot up and you do sacrifice a lot of things, but you get a lot in return. You know, I know there's teenagers out there who feel like they're giving up so much for their sport, but you have to sit back and look at what you're getting back. And, you know, as a teenager, I was able to travel around the country, going all these amazing meets, meeting really cool people. I even represented the U.S. In international competition. And so, yeah, I didn't go to high school parties, but I also got to do a lot more than other people do.
You're a pretty driven person, I understand.
Yes. Very competitive.
I mean, are you an A type?
Yeah. I think I'm, the definition of A type personality.
Hard to be around? I mean, are you single-minded when you've got your mind set on something?
I can be very focused. And because I know that about myself, I've really forced myself to use that in other ways. So when I'm in the pool, I'm focusing just about swimming. When I'm in the weight room, I'm focusing just about, lifting weights. And then when I'm at home, I'm focusing on cooking or doing other things. And so I force myself to use that personality in a different way.
What about the pendulum? Has it always been on one side when you were younger, and now has it gone over to the other side or come back to a middle ground, that balance in your life that you have to have?
As a teenager, I was very, very focused on swimming and just swimming. And I had a pretty traumatic shoulder injury, and that really taught me to have more balance in my life and gave me a lot more perspective of where swimming fits. It's something that's incredibly important to me, but if, you know, it disappears tomorrow, I want something else to fall back on. And that was, you know, a big thing for me going to school and making sure that I focused on my academics as well as my athletics and getting my degree from Berkeley. And so that injury really taught me a lot.
One of the things that I've always found in talking to outstanding athletes, and I put you into that category, like the Michael Jordan, the LeBron James, the Joe Montanas, is there is one thing that drives those great athletes more than anything else, mm-hmm. and I want to get your reaction to it, the fear of failure.
Yeah, that would definitely be accurate, especially during college. You know, for the longest time, I was undefeated in you know, dual meets and NCAAs and things like that. And it got to be a lot, you know, because every year it built up more and more, like, so many consecutive races that she hasn't lost. It wasn't so much succeeding. It was fear of not succeeding, which essentially is the same thing, but it's a different mindset.
And you did lose one race, right?
I did. Well, I actually lost one, like, in Pac-10s my freshman year, and then my final race. And final individual race.
Yeah, how did you feel about that when you reflected back on the loss at the end of your career?
Honestly, I hated that event, and I never wanted to do it in the first place, and it was almost like I told you so. I wanted to do the 100 freestyle instead of the 200 back, but I was just glad that part of my swimming career was over.
When it comes to swimming, is it hard for you? Are you out to satisfy yourself, or are you out to satisfy other people, or has that changed a little bit over
it's
the years?
It's always been different, and in high school, it was a combination of wanting to please myself as well as my coach and my family and things like that. And then when it got to be when I was in college, it was, again, a lot about me. And then I was also I had a full scholarship, so I wanted to please my coach and do what was required of me. And after that, you know, I've been a professional athlete, so it's really just about me. And I like that because it gives me, I don't know, the goals are different, and I'm more satisfied just doing it for myself.
We got about 30 seconds before we have to break. When you get out of the pool after a race, do you know whether you've given your best effort? I mean, can you understand that within yourself?
Yeah. Well, I honestly can't think of a race recently where I haven't given my best effort. The effort's always been there. Just the strategy has been a little stupid sometimes. Like I might go out way too hard and kind of spin my tires in the beginning of a race. And the effort's there. It's just if it was smart or not.
Olympic champion Natalie Coughlin has joined us here on Sports Byline. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.